Let's bring in Julian Zelizer. He's professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, there's so many details. Let's do a little government 101 recap here. The Constitution gives the House of Representatives the power to vote for impeachment, and the Senate serves as the court for impeachment trials. We're all wondering, what were the Founding Fathers' intentions when they included impeachment in the Constitution?
Well, that's unclear. And the ambiguity is one of the reasons it's this ongoing debate. It's clear that the preference was elections in terms of having a decision to remove presidents, but there is room in between. And some of the issues people talk about, the abuse of presidential power, the corruption of presidential decisions as a result of a foreign power, those are two that people glean would be relevant for Congress to act before the next election. But the ambiguity is at the heart of why this is such a political process.
And some of those reasons you describe fall under the specific descriptions of impeachable offenses, which are treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And the Constitution doesn't really define those terms. But how have they been defined in past impeachments?
Well, with presidents, we've seen impeachments that revolve around technical violations of the law, such as President Andrew Johnson. With Richard Nixon, we've seen impeachment that revolves around the obstruction of justice and the obstruction of an impeachment investigation. And with President Bill Clinton, we saw, again, violations of the law, perjury, as being the reason for moving forward. And then with senators and judges, there's been other reasons, again, from treasonous acts to secession, to much more.
You've said that the events moved very fast during President Nixon's inquiry in Watergate. How so?
Well, for a lot of the time, the public is not yet breaking toward supporting the removal of the president. The actual investigation is much longer. In 1973, the Senate conducts its own investigation. In 1974, the House Judiciary Committee starts impeachment proceedings. But it's not until really between March and July of 1974 that you see public support really break against the president, and Republican support start to break against the president as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a series of things that happen: the indictment of high-level officials, the release of first transcripts and then actual audio tapes of White House conversations, that finally leads to the moment when Republicans tell President Nixon it's time to step down.
I'm thinking back to the Nixon impeachment process, or even Clinton, when we had just three news stations and our local paper. It's really harder now to control the political narrative, even given the country really is divided and the media landscape is so wide. Talk about your thoughts about this.
Yeah, I mean, it works both ways for President Trump. On the one hand, the media is more partisan, so now he has conservative media outlets he will be able to rely on in the months ahead to provide supportive stories, to raise questions about the Democrats rather than the administration. And that works in his favor. But on the other hand, the news is simply harder to control. It comes out 24 mm-hmm. hours a day in multiple outlets, and you don't even need to be a news organization to make news. So yeah, that's what we're seeing in the last few days, a cascading effect of stories about the abuse of power that become hard for a president to push back against.
Yeah, you mentioned the public sentiment during the Nixon impeachment inquiry. We're still more than a year away from the next presidential election. I mean, how astonishing would it be if we had an impeachment process playing out during the thick of the presidential campaign?
It would be unbelievable. It would create great instability in terms of how the parties think of what to do and who the candidate will even be. Mm-hmm. And it will affect public opinion. I think Speaker Pelosi is going to try to get a vote sooner than that and try to limit ultimately how much time this question is discussed before decisions are made by first the House and then the Senate. But this would not be just another campaign story. This will dominate the conversation about what the vote is about and who's best to hold office.
Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.